The scripture lesson this morning is Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 11. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived. But now you must rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge and the image of its creator. Here are no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all.
Now we're going to turn to our gospel lesson. Our gospel lesson comes from the book of St. Luke, chapter 12, verses 13 through 21. Hear the word of the Lord.
Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide his inheritance with me." And Jesus replied, "Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you?" Then he said to them, "Watch out. Be on guard against all kind of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." And then he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." And then he said, "This is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I'll say to myself, 'You have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool. This very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself?' This is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself, but is not rich towards God." Here endeth the reading of God's holy word. Thanks be to God. Let's bow our heads and pray. O Lord, my God, my rock and my redeemer, I praise you once again for the opportunity to stand in this your church, in this your pulpit, to have read your sacred scripture, and now to share my testimony. Amen. Today in Luke chapter 12, once again, Jesus is talking to a crowd. And when he's talking to these crowds, we're not talking as small crowds. We're talking about crowds of thousands. So if you could just imagine the masses of people that he's talking to. And the tone of what his message is about as he's talking to them is being faithful to God. And he goes on and says previously some things like this: is, "If you disown me here on earth, I will disown you before my Father in heaven." You see, Jesus is trying to get them to focus on and through the lens of eternity. To think about those things that are in this world and then think about those things that are eternal, to set their hearts straight. But we find today that there's a man in that crowd. There's a man in that crowd that doesn't have eternity on his mind. He has something else, and that's money. Money. this man in the middle of this crowd comes up to Jesus and says, Master, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. Okay? Well, the Levitical law of that day said that if you were the oldest brother, then you were entitled to two-thirds of whatever inheritance that was. And so, how you felt about that law depended on who you were. I mean, if you were the oldest, you thought that was a great law. But if you were that youngest, you felt somehow that you were being cheated. Now, one of the things that Jesus does right up front is he confronts this person, because the person is not asking Jesus what he thinks about this money. He's asking Jesus, back me up for what I think about this money. You know, it's interesting when we have this happen. And then Jesus says to him, he says, who appointed me as a judge or an arbiter between you two? Now, those of you that, I like that word arbiter, because what this man is asking, he's asking Jesus to make the decision. You know, and if you've ever gone in a union setting and you have a dispute, you have an arbitration. In an arbitration, there's usually both parties and then the arbiter in the middle. And that arbiter is the one that's going to listen to everything and then give the judgment. In many situations, the arbiter's judgment is the one that lasts. And so this is the position that this man puts Jesus in. And then Jesus uses this as a springboard with this man to teach us one of the most important lessons of our human life. To avoid one of the most common deceptions that we have here on this earth. And that's money. And he says that life isn't found in abundance of possessions. He said, but life is found in those things that are going to lead on into eternity. Now, it's really interesting because Jesus, when he's talking about this topic of money to this man, you know, we wonder, wow, why does he do that? Well, of the 36, 38 parables in the Bible, 16 of them are about money. So it's a good day for us to kind of talk about what exactly does Jesus have to say about that? Where are we with our lives and how that goes? You know, when I was preparing for this message, I did it about 3 or 4 years ago, and the title of my scripture was, the title of my sermon was, Money, Money, Money. And I noticed that Sunday that when people came into church, they really sat in the back because they thought, oh no, here's the pastor again going to talk about money. Want me to give my... I'm not talking about giving money. We're talking about the characteristics of money and what Jesus had to say about it. Now, Jesus tells us up front that in the Sermon on the Mount, when he does that in Matthew, he's talking about those things that become our personal idols that keep us from him. In the Sermon on the Mount, one of the most blessed sermons he ever did, he talks about money and money being an idol that can actually stand in between the way of us and our God. And you know, we've heard those sayings over and over maybe throughout our lives that money is the root of all evil. I don't believe that. I think a lot of good things can come out of money, but the love of money is the root of all evil. The love of money is the root of all evil. And so we get this in Matthew that Jesus says up front, and I love in that sermon, no one can serve two masters. Either you hate one and love the other, or you'll be devoted to one and despise the other. And he says to us, you can't serve two gods. You can't serve money, and you can't serve me. Now, I thought to kind of loosen up this morning, get our lives thinking about making the power that money can have in our lives and what Jesus wanted us to get from this scripture and this parable, that we might ask ourselves a few questions. The first one is this: how often do you compare what you have and how much you make to others? Or about this one, how much anxiety do finances add to your life? To what extent are your dreams and goals driven by money? What is your attitude toward giving? And I think as we get into this parable today, we have to kind of know this is a truth. If you want to find out how important money is in your life, start giving it away. That's when we find out, really, how do I really feel about this inside? You know, John Tillotson said these words. He says, "He who provides for this life but takes no care for eternity is wise for a moment, but a fool forever." He who provides for this life, wise for a moment, but when we think about eternity, so foolish. And you see, this is the essence of what Jesus was saying that day when that man interrupted him in front of that whole crowd of thousands. He gives us a vivid description of how God, the God of money, can stand between him and ourselves. And the key is to remember that what we have, what we've accumulated, what we find in abundance, is we have to remember where we get that from. Who's the source of the person that provided that for us? And that's Almighty God. That's Almighty God. You know, what was really interesting about this man when he came up to Jesus, if you read it, as I was reading it in the scriptures, he's pretty into himself. He said, "My barns, my crops, my grain, my money." I mean, there's no acknowledgement of God and what God has given and blessed him. And so when you see this happening, we see that this man, basically in the parable, has put all his belongings in front of what goes to Almighty God, or what Almighty God would have him do. And so when we hear the parable, we hear that this man is just so overwhelmed because we're told that he was wealthy, but then he had a really good crop. And the good crop comes in and he's like, "I have no place to store all this. So I'm just going to keep building bigger barns and bigger barns." And because of this, the bigger they get, the more I'm going to be able to relax. And then the more I can eat and drink and be merry and not have to worry about anything. And what does Jesus say? He says, "You fool." Don't you love the words that Jesus calls people? "You fool." I mean, this whole summer we've been talking about some harsh things, but "you fool. Don't you know that this very night your life is going to be demanded of you? And so everything that you've accumulated, where's that going to go? Where are you going to take that?" You know, when we see these kind of things happening with money, I think the one thing that Jesus made a good point of is this man in this parable was giving money divine attributes. Divine attributes. The things that maybe we should ascribe to God, he's doing to money. And so the first thing he does is he looks to money as his source of security. Now, you know, we kind of grow up with understanding we need to be responsible, and we need to think about our security. And like I said, money is not bad. The love of money is. I mean, I grew up hearing my grandfather say, "I can't afford that. I can't afford that. I'm on Social Security. So I knew as I grew up that there was something about being secure. And I remember that he was a very, very tight person. And there was always maybe this fear. And, you know, when I think about it, when we think of money as our source of security, you know, we get kind of upset or worried about what's going to happen in the future. Or maybe in his situation, you know, it was the Great Depression when the banks closed and the banks failed. And so he had that inside of him also. And maybe some of us are worried about what would happen if I lost my job, or what would happen if there was an earthquake or something like that that would devastate my properties. I need to have This money is my security. And while having security is good, when we go overboard, when we obsess about it, when we give it that divine power, it takes control of our life. And so when we build those things up, they become our God. And we don't need prayer. We don't need to pray for God because we have everything we think we need. Now, I always like going back to the Bible to see what it has to say about this. And so let's go to the Old Testament, book of Proverbs, and it says this, "Give me neither poverty or riches, but give me only my daily bread. Otherwise, I may have too much and disown you and say, 'Who is the Lord?'" Isn't that a beautiful, beautiful way to live your life? Give me neither poverty or riches, but just give me my daily bread. And isn't that what we learn to pray when Jesus taught the disciples? They asked him to pray, that to pray for their daily bread. Pray for our daily bread. Now, let's go on to the next divine attribute that happens with this man in this story with money. He looks at money as his source of satisfaction. If I can just accumulate a little bit more, and if I can fill up my barn even more, if I could even maybe buy some more land and double and triple this, my life's going to be easy. I'm going to be able to retire early. I'm going to be able to eat and drink and be merry. That's what's going to satisfy me. And you know what's interesting in this story is we're told up front that this man was a successful man and was wealthy before he had the big crop come in. He had plenty before that. And what we find is, you know, he kind of gets off on this idea of more and more is going to satisfy me. But, you know, I'll tell you, that satisfies. Sometimes the more we have, the more we want. We have to check that sometimes in ourselves. The more we want, the more we have. And that sense of satisfaction can do some really, really awkward things. You know, it was interesting because I think as human beings, we have a natural bent towards wanting things for ourselves. Do you remember when your kids were small? I remember when my two were toddlers and they're 18 months apart. What would happen when the two-year-old would take the three-year-old's toy? What would they scream out loud? Mine. Mine. When you think about it, from a very young age, we kind of get that attitude of, this is mine. I want this. You can't have this. You can't share this. And so it's kind of a natural instinct. And Jesus takes this opportunity to say, to kind of dispute that and say, you know, if you're looking for your source of satisfaction, you're not going to find it in money. You're going to find it in me. You're going to find it in God. Now let's see what Scripture has to say about this. If you love money, you'll be never satisfied. If you long to be rich, you'll never get all you want. Book of Ecclesiastes in the Old Testament. If you love money, you'll never be rich. You'll never be satisfied. If you're longing to be rich, you'll never get all you want. It's not going to happen. It doesn't matter how much, who, where, what. It's not going to happen. Like I said, the more we put out there, the hungrier we become. And the third divine attribute that Jesus talks about this in this parable that this man gives towards money is he looks to money as his source of significance. By how much we have and maybe the kind of house we have and the kind of car we drive, and you know, we can look at other people and then look at ourselves and say, you know, if I'm going to be significant, I'm going to need to be driving a luxury car. Or better yet, if I'm going to be significant, I need to see people
me driving not only a luxury car, but maybe I need to have leather in it, and maybe I need to have heated seats in it. But I have to have, it's got to be shiny. It's got to be, because this is what defines me. I hear so many people that are in the middle of their lives and going through what we call midlife crisis or whatever, and all of a sudden these kind of things just bubble up to the surface. Like, I've always wanted a Mercedes, or I've always wanted a Harley, because that would just make me feel like the person I really need to be. And do you see how deceiving that can be? Because one day, that Harley or that Mercedes or whatever car it is or whatever, it's going to get old. It's going to die. It's going to rust. We're going to have problems with it. But what's in here in this relationship with Almighty God is what makes us significant. He makes us significant. We find our being and our identity in Him. But you see, Jesus is pointing this out. And it was interesting because I thought about this to myself as I was in here yesterday looking at the cross and then out in the cross room, and I thought, wow, you know, the beauty of the cross and the significance of the cross is something that as Christians we need to put in front of our lives. But money has that place of replacing that. And so instead of the cross, sometimes our image is a dollar sign. Sometimes we replace the cross with a dollar sign. And Jesus says, watch out in everything that you're not greedy, because life really isn't about the abundance of what you have. And when we worship money, that cross becomes a dollar sign. You know, the man in Luke 2 today really was trusting in his possessions. And so we get this at the end where Jesus says to him, he says, you know, you fool, tonight your life's going to be demanded of you. You know, and it's kind of a sad thing. I mean, I've had many clients in my practice that have lost loved ones, and this is one of the, for whatever reason, is a very common thing, but they'll say, you know, my wife and I saved for our retirement. We saved and we saved and we saved. And we both worked and we sacrificed and saved because we wanted to have this retirement. And then she got ill and suddenly passed. What do I do with all this? What do I do with this whole situation? The money that we saved, everything, there's no future anymore. All those plans. And see, and that's where Jesus says, if you trust in me, if you make me your source of security, if you make me your source of satisfaction, if you make me your source of significance, I'll love you, I'll care for you. And it's an investment that goes far beyond what we do on this earth, but what we do when we will lead us to being with Him eternally in salvation. We get this in Matthew once again, that where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. How we handle our money is a way of answering that question. It's really interesting, because if you look at your bills in your billfold, what are the words that are on there? In God we trust. And yet, one of the biggest things that Jesus puts in front of us today is that bill, even though it has that on it, stands to be the biggest competition sometimes in our lives and our substitution for Him. Where we put our money reveals where we put our trust in Him. And so today, Lord, my friends, I think that we need to kind of focus on what Jesus, in the spirit of what Jesus is saying. And He was saying to that crowd, what He was saying to that man, and why He said that parable is, whatever it is in our lives that we find are distracting us from Him in a relationship with Him, we need to put into perspective. And Jesus stands there ready to do for us everything that money can. And we need to put our trust in Him. Because, you know, there's going to come that day that the Lord's going to say, like He said, you fool, you're going to be damned that night. But He's going to say to us, each and every one of us, whatever the situation may be, He's going to say, are you ready? Have you prepared? And so, I want us to remember that as we go forth today. Like I said, money isn't a bad thing, but love of money is. And what we do and how good stewards we are of that tells a lot about what we really put our trust in. Let's bow our heads. God, You're so good. You kind of bring things forward in Your scriptures that we have struggled through the ages with. And God, while we all have our own personal security needs and satisfaction needs and significant needs, Lord, may we know that whenever those issues go on, that we can turn to You and that You will provide, that You will provide for us and that You will bless us. Father, we thank You for illuminating this today for us. And we ask You to bless and keep us as now we come to Your table and as we share in the sacrament of Holy Communion. Amen.